Welcome back. I'm Michael Dresser. You're listening to The Michael Dresser Show on CRN Digital Talk Radio. Call us 800-336-2225, and it is about 7 minutes after the hour. Alfred Poor, PhD, Dr. Poor is with us. He's a writer, he's a speaker, and a trainer with a worldwide reputation. He has experience as a guest on TV, radio, was also the co-host of a live radio show in New York City for more than 8 years, and he is the author of Get Up, Your Bus Is Here, Living Life with Cerebral Palsy, Trials, Tribulations, and Triumphs. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Seven Successful Secrets That Every College Student Needs to Know. Alfred, I blew that one big time. Anyways.
That's all right.
Welcome.
That's all right. Maybe people will hear it more clearly because of the mistake and the repetition.
Oh, no, I love it. What we did is we got mileage out of it.
Good. Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
You got it. I owe you a big one for this, so it'll come during this interview. Seven Success Secrets That Every College Student Needs to Know. Alfred, I think one of the biggest problems that we have, and it's been going on for years and years and years, kids go to school, they get a particular occupation, a profession, they get a degree, and they get out, and they can't do anything with it. And it doesn't seem as though anybody's directing them, for the most part, to say, you've got an education, and you have everything it takes to be able to be in a particular area, but now I can't find the job to be able to be there. What do you do with that?
Well, I mean, the first thing is that, you know, things are a little different now than they were even just 10 years ago.
Sure.
Like you say, there are some problems that are familiar. But one of the things is that, as I've studied this, there are actually some things about today's students that are quite different than students were 30, 20, or even 10 years ago. And so they're facing some additional problems, the least of which is everybody knows the high unemployment numbers that they're all facing right now.
Sure.
And that's a big challenge. But one of the numbers that a lot of people don't realize, everybody knows, it's common wisdom that a four-year degree is a big help in going out into the workplace and getting a job. In fact, it's required for entry-level jobs and so many kinds of work. You might be amazed to know, though, that of all the students who graduated from a four-year program in the last 5 years, just barely half of them have a full-time job.
Yeah.
51% of the kids who graduated from a four-year program in the last 5 years have a full-time job. And many of them don't have a job that has anything to do with what they studied.
Yeah, Alfred, I think one of the big problems...
They're facing a really challenging job market.
Sure, and I think one of the big problems we had, if you go back 10, 15, 20 years, if you were going to apply for a job, you might have had five or six people that you were up against for that particular job. You might have, you might have 1,000 people that you're up against for that job today. So it's become a situation whereby if they're not skilled in how to do that interview, do that presentation, and to know what to ask, they might as well not go.
Well, I don't think it's that bad. They're actually getting the students who want to take advantage of the resources they've got at their colleges, the probably the most underused facility in any college campus is their college career center. They've got experts there who are ready to help you figure out what kind of work you want to go after, to help you create a resume, because resumes today look a whole lot different than what you or I might have created when we were first looking for our first job.
Sure.
And there's a whole lot of different things to do during the job seeking process. And the fact is that a lot of these kids are getting work. The big problem is that if you don't hang on to that first job, getting that second job is even tougher.
Oh, no question. By the way, I hear some magic music coming up, so we're going to go to our first break, so please stay with us. Alfred Poor with us, the author of Seven Success Secrets That Every College Student Needs to Know. I'm Michael Dresser. You are listening to The Michael Dresser Show on CRN Digital Talk Radio. You can call us live at 800-336-2225. And if you missed the name of a book, missed a website, missed the name of a guest, go to the website, MichaelDresserShow.com. It is all there, and if you want a subject matter addressed on the show, get a hold of Radio Susie, and she'll get it for you. We will be right back with Alfred Poor. Welcome back. I'm Michael Dresser. You're listening to The Michael Dresser Show on CRN Digital Talk Radio. Dr. Alfred Poor with us, the author of Seven Success Secrets That Every College Student Needs to Know. Alfred, we got when we started out, we talked about getting that job. But then again comes the major question. So I get the job. How do I keep it? That in and of itself is a strategy.
It's a huge problem. And one of the things in the research that I've done, and also I've talked to a lot of HR people and a lot of managers, hiring managers in companies, and they all sing a very similar tune. You know, the workers, the young workers who come into the entry-level jobs these days aren't prepared. They're just not ready to be a successful contributor to their company. The favorite story I've got is one of a company I know. They had a young woman apply. She'd been to a good four-year college, and she applied for a job there, and they offered her a job as receptionist. They said, you know, we're a growing company, and there's going to be opportunities down the line, so if, you know, at this point, we'd like you to start off as the receptionist, learn about the company, and down the line, there'll be opportunities for you to grow with the company. So she took the job. 4 weeks later, she walked into her boss's office and said, well, I've done a really good job as receptionist for the past 4 weeks. Do I get my raise now and my promotion? She just didn't have a clue.
Yeah, 4 weeks of good.
Way,
yeah.
You know, that she's got to put the time in.
Yeah.
And exactly. And so these managers are complaining about these young workers who don't have realistic expectations. They're impatient. They don't like to do the boring work that needs to get done. They have trouble taking criticism. They take it personally and get all emotional about it. And so they find a very difficult time working with these kids. And one of the things that absolutely floored me was, you know, the number one reason why new hires get fired these days?
No.
It's attendance problems.
Ah.
They don't show up for work.
Okay.
Which just blows me away, but it just shows that, you know, an attitude about your responsibility as an employee. I think one of the problems here is that the environment that these kids have been brought up in.
Absolutely.
Now, a lot of people talk about the everybody's a winner problem. You know, you know everybody in the.
Hey, by the way, I'm on your side with just flow with this because I am 3,000% on your side with this. It's what these kids have been taught. It's the consequence that they don't understand that they have to face. And when you're hired by somebody, you do what they tell you to do, not just if they think it's right or wrong because they're being paid.
Exactly. Exactly. And the being paid part is the key, because this is something that I think a lot of people miss.
Yeah.
These kids have been raised to be consumers, and they are the most savvy consumers that we've ever had as a generation.
Yeah.
They understand completely what it means to give money and get something in return. And they also understand that by being the consumer, by being the buyer in the transaction, you automatically demand and command respect from the provider. So, I mean, one example of this is a huge number of kids in college feel that they aren't given adequate respect by the college because they're paying tuition.
Yeah.
You know, that they should be given more respect. So they arrive in the workplace, and all of a sudden, they're not the consumer. They're the provider. And all that leverage and control and power that they had is gone.
You see,
it's no wonder that they feel scared. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me jump in with that because I want to expand on that a little bit. So what we're saying here is you're taught to buy, but you're not taught to be the seller, okay, or seller. And I'll give you a prime example of that. I think I've told the story once or twice on the air at the appropriate time. Within the last year, I went over to the gym, and there was a young woman behind the counter, 18, 20, 21 years old, and I asked her for some protein powder. And she said, we're out. And I said, okay, well, do you have a website I can order some at? And she gave me the manufacturer's website. He said, but what about your website? She said, no, buy it from the manufacturer. All they're going to do here is make a profit. Yeah. Okay, but that's what...
Yeah. And I mean, for me, the example is, you know, the number of times I've walked into a retail setting and two or three young workers behind the counter talking to each other, and I stand there for a minute, 2 minutes before they even look up and there's a customer.
Yeah.
But the key thing here is that they haven't been taught how to be an employee.
No, and it's absolutely true. And I love it when you go in and they're not looking at you and they say, how are you today? And they don't even know where you're standing, which is very
exactly.
interesting.
The manager taught them to say the script, you know, but they're not actually thinking the words and not meaning it. And in fact, that's one of the key secrets that I have in the book. The book basically tries to take a positive approach, and rather than tell kids everything they're doing wrong, rather say, you know, here's some very simple things that you can do that are going to give you an edge in your job. You're going to be more valuable to the company, and you know, when they go to lay people off, you'll be one of the last ones to be laid off because you're valuable. And when the company has expansion, you'll be one of the first people considered for a promotion. Now, one of the things I have in the book is a very simple lesson from fast food. When you walk into a fast food restaurant, the first thing is they say, welcome.
Yeah.
And then they say, how can I help you? Right?
True.
So my point is, as an employee, even if you never see the company's customers, why shouldn't you treat all your colleagues that way? Not only the ones at your level, but your bosses and the people below you on the org chart. Isn't it in your own best interest for them to feel happy and welcomed at their place of work? Don't you want them to feel good about coming to work? I would. And then beyond that, how can I help you? Shows that you're part of the team. You know, is there something that you can do to make their load lighter, make their job easier? You know, what can you do to help them? Very simple thing that all these kids know, have been experienced, you know, at least as a consumer. But
sure.
They never taught, take that attitude and put it in your cubicle.
Yeah, Alfred, we're going to go to break, so please stay with us. Alfred Poor with us, the author of Seven Success Secrets That Every College Student Needs to Know. Seven Success Secrets That Every College Student Needs to Know. And you can find him on www.alfredpoor.com. We'll be right back with Alfred right after this. Welcome back. I'm Michael Dresser. You're listening to The Michael Dresser Show on CRN Digital Talk Radio. Call us 800-336-2225. Three twos in there and a five. Alfred Poor with his PhD, the author of Seven Success Secrets That Every College Student Needs to Know. Alfred, I think you just hit it right before the break, which most people do not address. And I have done enough interviews in my time that I really haven't heard it the way that you said it. And realistically, yeah, they're taught to consume. They're a brilliant consumer. We have an e-consumer now. These kids know how to consume more than anybody in history. But they don't know how to be on the other side. And nobody, with the exception of yourself and in school, nobody's teaching them formally how to do this.
And that's exactly why I speak to colleges and fraternities and sororities, trying to help get this word out to the kids, you know, get them... rearrange their thinking a little bit, get them to see things a little bit differently. But, you know, the people who I'd like to talk to briefly in the little bit of time we've got left is I'd like to talk directly to the parents and grandparents of students in college, because I know very well just how concerned they are about these kids and their future. I mean, it's a very practical matter. They've got the issue of the boomerang kid coming back and living in the basement, and, you know, that's can be a strain. So, but even beyond that, you know, parents, grandparents, they want these kids to succeed, but it's kind of tough to say, you know, stand on your own feet and you know, take responsibility for your actions and be accountable.
Alfred, especially
when the conversation to start.
But I want to add this, especially when they're taught the reverse of that predominantly all their life. The boss says, go clean up your desk, and hypothetically, go clean up your desk, and nobody tells me what to do. I'll do it when I'm going to do it, and if the boss gets a little angry, then all of a sudden we need psychological help, and there's a lawsuit, and, this goes on and on.
Yep, goes on and on. So that's why I would like to suggest to parents and grandparents who, you know, we've got the holidays coming up, and this can be a dangerous time for this kind of discussion. Think about getting a copy of this book and giving it to them as a present this holiday season, and using that as a way to start the conversation. Again, the book takes a very positive attitude towards all this. It's not saying what to do wrong, but rather, here are some secret strategies that you can use and use to your advantage in that job. And if they start thinking about that now, it's going to help them write a better resume. It's going to help them come through better in their job interviews. It's going to increase their chances of getting that job. And then once they've got it, holding on to it and being a success at it.
Oh, no question about it. And I think the one major hurdle is they have to step outside of themselves and think the way other people think. That's the key. And we're talking about from grammar school on today, they're taught that culture that we just talked about, and it's a culture, and it's got to be very hard for the majority of them to break. You can't tell them anything, and they've got to make those decisions for themselves. They are so technologically oriented, you know, with the computers and the iPads and the rest of it, you know, who needs anybody? And that is another thing to get over with. Nobody knows as much as they do. And I say that with basically tongue in cheek.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, part of my approach is to build on that attitude that they've got already and say, here's what nobody's told you, but this is in your self-interest. This is how you can get to what you want. You want that success. You want that responsibility. You want the good job. Well, this is how you can get there. Now, it happens that you have to think about other people in order to implement those strategies, but I still try to bring it back to them and say, this is why it's to your advantage.
Sure. And by the way, then a lot of them are reasonable. If they've got to the point where they've gone to school and they, you know, if they can, you know, strategically think, then the logic is there and the value for doing this is senior to the value for them continuing on with whatever attitudes or behavior that they had. So it's critically important that a lot of these kids get this, and that word entitlement has ruined so many lives. There are a lot of depressed youngsters today because they can't get a job, because they can't get out and function. And if you don't have the money to do what you want to do today, you're going to sit alone.
Exactly, and you're going to be a burden on your parents who, you know, have carried you this far, and it's time to grow up and be responsible and carry that load yourself, even if it means you get a, you know, some changes in your lifestyle that you're not accustomed to.
And I hear you. We're just about out of time, Alfred. Please, website we can find you at.
30.
Please, www.alfredpoor.com, and it's Alfred Poor, P like Peter, O-O-R.
20.
Wonderful. Hey, Alfred, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye. I'm Michael Dresser. You are listening to The Michael Dresser Show on CRN Digital Talk Radio. And if you missed anything, michaeldressershow.com. We'll be back.